Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my buddies, Chip and Dale, Justin and Randy. How you doing, Justin?
I'm fabulous. I've always seen myself as the Dale in that combo. I don't know about you, Randy.
I don't know. Which one is the one with the red nose?
Dale.
Okay, yeah, I definitely see you as a Dale.
The Aloha shirt, no pants.
Yeah. I'll be the one wearing the leather jacket and the fedora. That sounds about right.
Right.
Being responsible.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm a Monterey Jack, of course.
There you go.
The fat mouse.
We need a Gidget.
Chipmunk. I'm Gidget. I'm Gadget. I'm the one who designs things.
Gadget. I said Gidget. Gidget was a show, a TV show.
Gidget was Sally Field.
Yeah. I like Rescue Rangers. I actually have every episode of that.
That's amazing.
I know. It's good. I like the cats, the bad guys. I like the Bud Boss guy. He's like my favorite.
Cats.
Yeah. And then there's like that chubby one. It's like, oh, gee, fat cat. I like him too. Yeah. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It could be both, though.
Yes.
Could be here or there.
Destination Nowhere.
Hey, we got some exciting news to go over. We finally got our first synopsis for Solo, a Star Wars film. And what's really interesting about it is every year Disney sends out their press kits that has like their full slate of movies for the year. So in this case, it's got your Wreck-It Ralph 2, it's got your Avengers, it's got Black Panther, Wrinkle in Time, all those ones, and obviously Solo, a Star Wars tale. What was interesting is that every single one of them comes with this really cool looking like still that like kind of encapsulates the film. Like Wrinkle in Time, they had this really cool shot of this like open field, and then it's got Reese Witherspoon, Mindy Kaling, and Oprah Winfrey in their full outfit. And Avengers, Infinity War, it's got Captain America, Hulk, and Black Panther, and Winter Soldier, and all this Wakandan army behind them, like charging into what I'm assuming they're going to fight Thanos. For Solo Star Wars Story, it was that black title card with the yellow writing that says Solo a Star Wars Story. It was very weird, but one of the good things about it is I think a lot of people have been prognosticating whether or not they were going to move this film back to December. We talked about it last week, as a matter of fact. But nope, on their official synopsis, it definitely says May 25th. And that'll become interesting when we talk about Deadpool's move to May in our next story. But let me just read the synopsis real quick. Board the Millennium Falcon and journey to a galaxy far, far away in Solo, a Star Wars story. An all-new adventure with the most beloved scoundrel in the galaxy. Through a series of daring escapades deep within a dark and dangerous criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his mighty future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters the notorious gambler Lando Calrissian. In a journey that will set course for one of Star Wars' most unlikely heroes, Solo, a Star Wars Story releases in U.S. theaters on May 25th, 2018. So, Justin, that's a lot of words that doesn't really tell us anything, right?
Mm-mm. I don't like it.
And I thought the interesting thing about that is it was posted on the official Star Wars website, and then a little blurb under that saying, not much more has been revealed about the movie, or we don't know much more about the movie. As if it was written by a site anything other than StarWars.com, who literally knows everything about the movie.
But you know.
Yeah, it's like, don't play like you're reporting it like a, objective third party.
I mean, every week goes by, we don't have a trailer, and, we still haven't even, they haven't even released stills of this film. I mean, we got the one publicity shot in the cockpit, but that has two directors who aren't involved anymore. We got that art, the yellow art that, is fine and dandy, but we need to see something on this movie. And it was weird that when Disney made this big release today that they didn't give us something, or like at least say like, hey, and the trailer's going to drop next week. We got the Super Bowl coming up in a couple weeks, but I think it's kind of a weird spot because so much happens in the Super Bowl that it could get lost in the message, the branding. So, Randy, do you think that we'll see, plus or minus, before or after? Before Super Bowl, during Super Bowl, or after Super Bowl, Randy? When do you think we get this trailer?
I've been saying for the last few weeks I think it's going to be during the Super Bowl. I'm going to stick with that. It really would be the perfect time to dump it on the world.
Yeah, but I mean, just get like a quick 30-second teaser thing?
Yeah, just a teaser. That's all we necessarily need for now. And then follow it up a week or two later, maybe on my birthday. We'll see the full trailer.
Well, the Super Bowl is on February 4th, so it's after your birthday.
Fuck. It's usually at the end of June or January, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually the last week of January, first week of February, depending on how it works.
Give all of us geeks a nice Valentine's Day gift and, you know, give us a teaser for Super Bowl and the full thing. The full 6 inches we'll take on Valentine's Day.
Whoa. It's a lot of, is that Chewie inches or is that Han Solo inches?
We're talking Han Solo inches. Who knows what Wookiees are packing?
Oh, I think we all know.
It's hiding. You get to see the red rocket at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's like lipstick.
It's that lipstick thing.
Oh, dear God.
All right, well, hopefully we'll know. Hopefully next week we'll know more when we enter a new segment of Solo Watch next week. Hopefully maybe next week we'll get, heaven forbid, a still or, you know, an announcement trailer for the trailer. Or, heaven forbid, you know, maybe just a trailer. Maybe just all of a sudden, just like a random Thursday, it just drops. It's like, oh, shit, it's here. And then let them break the internet.
what if it's just that publicity still, and then it's just a voiceover over the
as show? As it zooms in or something?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Or it starts in close and it zooms out?
Yeah, to reveal. Like, yeah. It's not an asteroid, it's just a rock with a hand on it.
don't say that, Justin. Don't give Disney any ideas. They don't need them. But that May 25th release date is interesting because Fox made a big announcement end of last week where they moved two movies. And one of them was they moved Deadpool up a couple weeks. And so Deadpool is now going to come out May 18th. So let's just take a second to discuss May 2018. May 4th, we have Avengers Infinity War. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, May 18th, we have Deadpool 2. 1 week after that, we get Solo a Star Wars Story. I mean, that's a pretty action-packed May. Randy, does it surprise you that they would put Deadpool right before Star Wars, or do you think that maybe they were thinking Deadpool was going to move, or Star Wars is going to move, and Fox was trying to, like, ooh, we can steal the May Thunder?
Yeah, I think if nothing else, Fox is, in a way, kind of trying to push Disney's hand, you know? Like, people have been chattering as to whether or not Solo was going to get pushed back to December for quite a while. So either somebody over at Fox has the inside scoop, or they're, like I said, just trying to stoke the fire, push them in that direction, going like, we're going to give you a little friendly competition. Maybe you better take this little shit show movie elsewhere, you know? Just kind of a friendly competition nudge.
Yeah. Well, Justin, now that Disney has shown that, hey, we're not going, is this kind of a come at me, bro, you know, sharpens iron, or is this just, it's the summer, big movies are going to come out, you know, we chose the May release date, we knew we were going to have more competition than we have in December, and is Disney just not scared by this little movie about a foul-mouthed, red-suited mercenary?
Yeah, I don't think that. So I don't know. I feel like it's been this way for years where the early summer movies make the most, and August is sort of that fall off. Like, after 4th of July, I feel like everything else is just kind of, you know, free game. So to me, it makes more fiscal sense to put as much as you can at the beginning of the summer. But I don't know. I'm not a movie mogul, so I don't know the science behind it. But I think your best bet is to always have a movie in May.
Yeah. Do you think that by putting it so close to Star Wars, do you think that this will hinder the box office of Deadpool 2, being that, you know, the first Deadpool came out in February, so it didn't really have, it had nothing
any competition.
Around it.
It was just 50 Shades, I think, was its only competition.
Yes. Yeah, so it had pretty much free reign. to where now they're going to have, obviously they'll have a monster first week because the first Deadpool was so beloved. So, I mean, I think the first week will be enormous, but do you think the first week would have been bigger if it wasn't going against Star Wars? I mean, we've seen in the past that when Star Wars opens, even when it's, you know, Rogue One, when it's not a traditional episodic film, you know, it still soaks up the vast majority of the box office. Do you think there's room for two big weekends?
I do.
Two big movies that weekend?
I do, only because people love going to the movies. Like, the summer, it's like all bets are off, and everyone just goes. And it's like a race to see everything. So, it might hurt multiple viewings, but I don't think it's going to stop people from their initial screening of it.
No. Well, Fox wasn't done making announcements. As they moved up Deadpool, they delayed the New Mutants by 1 year. So New Mutants was supposed to come out of April of this year, but I guess then they tested it. They determined that it wasn't scary enough, and they wanted to go in a more it-like direction. And so they're going to retool this film, and it's going to come out in 2019, so an entire year. Now, we've talked about things like reshoots a lot on this show, you know, with big movies and stuff like that. And personally, I'm all for reshoots if it helps, you know, with the story and stuff like that. But usually, reshoots are to correct things, like tweak things a little bit, you know, maybe explore something they weren't exploring before. But when you hear they're retooling the entire feel and concept of a film to mirror a film that will be 2 years old when this film comes out, Is that cause for concern, Justin, that it's not simply like, we want to improve on this movie, it's we basically want to change this movie? Is that a little more concerning to you?
I don't think so. I'm not concerned. I feel like the way that they shot this movie in this little dank insane asylum type place, that they were able to do it for cheap. Like, I don't think this is going to have too many locations, and I bet you, like, the bottom line is highway robbery. I bet they're getting away with a lot here. So I don't think it's going to cost them much, and I think that at the same time, it's all just going to be sort of lighting and just retooling with the script a little bit, and it's going to be just as easy as it is said in this case. Rather than the easier said than done, I think that they are able to fix this a lot quicker and a lot easier than your normal total retooling of a movie.
All right. Well, what do you think, Randy? Do you think this is just them trying to just redo the movie? And, you know, maybe like Justin said, this movie looks like it's a pretty self-contained thing. Maybe they can take this opportunity to expand the film a little bigger. You know, maybe go outside the Nut House.
I don't know. I don't think it necessarily needs to be any bigger. There's a lot to be said about small, intimate storylines. And if it's something that we haven't seen before, I think it could just be just the right thing. So from the beginning, I've just been taking a real curious standpoint. Like, I'm not gonna judge it too much until I have a chance to see it. So I think it's going to be just right for what it is, for what it needs to be.
Yeah.
I love it. You're both so optimistic here. I read this and I was like doom and gloom, and I'm like, oh man, this is terrible. But you guys are like ray of sunshine. That's why I love you guys.
Honestly, they need to get it right, because they're dealing with mutants that no one knows or even more importantly cares about. So they got to make it in a way that brings excitement to this franchise and gets people excited for it and wants to ultimately pick up a new issue that will obviously roll out once the movie comes.
And they're crazy. They're in the insane asylum for a reason.
Yeah.
These are not well-adjusted mutants.
Yeah.
These ain't your Cyclopses.
We also get a Hellboy in 2019 as well. It's going to be the year of the dark hero.
Is that a racial slur?
Because
we're going to spawn that year too, I think.
Hellboy's red. He's Chinese.
Well, you said dark. You.
He's a dark red. He's a crimson.
A crimson? Be the year of the anti-hero.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm excited.
We got Spawn. We got Hellboy. We got these new mutants. This year we'll get the Dark Phoenix, I guess.
But yeah, I was thinking that was next year too, but it is not. But
no, yeah, I'm pretty excited for Dark Phoenix, actually. I have high hopes.
I wonder what role, if any, Wolverine will play in Dark Phoenix.
I think he will have no part.
Isn't that weird?
It's a little weird. I mean, his stuff in Apocalypse was clearly shot months later, and it was just kind of tacked on, so it didn't really have any emotional resonance to it, to where I cared, to where even his like cameo in First Class was kind of cool, because he was basically told Charles Xavier to go fuck himself. so that was cool, but I watched Logan again the other day, and I said my goodbye to Mr. Jackman, and if he doesn't want to be Wolverine anymore, that's fine with me. I'll be sad when they find a new Wolverine, though.
Yeah, but so that's just it. This is a perfect opportunity to introduce a new Wolverine. Unless they're going to retool the entire X-Men franchise under the umbrella of Disney, then they might as well just save it. But I don't know, it just seems weird not to have Wolverine in the Dark Phoenix saga.
Yeah, I think they really want to see how Dark Phoenix does and how well New Mutants does, because they want New Mutants to be a new trilogy, just to see if this is a franchise that they need to keep putting stuff into. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Wolverine cinema movies are done. Deadpool movies, obviously, are kind of the way of the future, and they're going with those, like, X-Force, trying to turn Cable into the new Wolverine, you know, that character that you can root for, who's kind of a scoundrelish, kind of like gruffy guy, but, you know, with a heart of gold.
Heart of gold.
Heart of gold.
Yeah.
His eye is gold.
Little teddy bear.
Yeah. Little bear teddy.
Like Bane.
Bane. Ooh. I'm going to be in Venom. Oh, I'll probably talk like this again. Well, before we get to that, let's talk Flashpoint. Finally got a pair of directors, John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, who directed the criminally underrated Vacation remake, which I know is a divisive thing to say, but I loved it, and who are accomplished comedy writers. You know, they wrote the Horrible Boss films, Burt Wonderstone, a couple other ones. They are going to direct the Flashpoint film starring Ezra Miller. And it's interesting that they chose, you know, such accomplished, you know, comedy people that came from comedy. But that's where the Russos came from, and they've done a pretty good job with Ed Marvel. But what I found interesting was that apparently they offered the role to the director's chair to Ben Affleck, who maybe it was like a last-ditch effort to try to keep him in the DC universe. But, Randy, when you hear that, A, that they got new directors, but B, more importantly, that Affleck was offered this role. Does that surprise you?
I'm not really surprised, because I think they're kind of at their wit's end doing anything that they can to try to prevent losing him. And it doesn't sound like it's working out. So I don't know. I'm kind of bummed. Granted, I was late to the party. I finally saw Batman v Superman recently, and I still haven't seen Justice League. But what I've seen of Affleck as Batman, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to be super bummed if he bones out early.
What about you, Justin? Are you excited for these directors? And again, are you surprised that Affleck was both offered and passed on the role?
I am. All of this surprises me. I am. I'm shocked. But I do think that these two guys are actually pretty cool dudes. Jonathan Goldstein, he actually wrote Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
Which is exciting, because that's one of the few movies that put me to sleep.
But Flash is kind of in the same like character.
Yeah, I know. He's a very charming guy. I actually adore Barry Allen. I think that he's a fantastic character, and I think that these two guys will really bring to it. And then the other guy, what's his name? John Francis Daly. He's from Freaks and Geeks. He's the little guy.
So, yes.
He's not so little anymore. I saw him on Bones, like a Bones rerun or something. I was like, holy shit, where have I seen that guy before? but no, I'm actually really, 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 really excited about that. I think Flash is one of the fun characters in the DC universe, and I think these guys have a lot to bring to the table. It does surprise me that Affleck is in fact going to be leaving the DC. What is it? It's called DC. Do they call it the DCEU?
DC.
Yeah, it's just DC universe, right?
Yeah. So it was. Some journalists called it the DCEU, but DC has since distanced itself from that term. It's just the DC film universe, which just sounds confusing.
So dumb.
DCFU.
Yeah. That's right. Alright. Yeah, totally. So that does surprise me. And then going off of rumors now that I'm seeing that Suicide Squad 2 will actually be his last role as Batman. It just kind of blows me away because now I have to see Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah,
I mean he's a great Batman. I love him as Batman. I love him as Bruce Wayne, and I am. It hasn't even happened yet, but I'm already sad about it.
But I mean, he was technically in Suicide Squad 1, and it's not like there was really any meat to that role.
No, but he was probably the best part of that movie, and I would love to see more of him. There's no reason not to have more Batman in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising that, I mean, they're both fine directors, and you know, I like all of their work, both written and directed. But some of the names that had been thrown out over the past, you know, couple months, you know, Sam Raimi's name was thrown out there. Obviously, Lord and Miller had been rumored for a long time. Robert Zemeckis had been in talks. Now we hear Ben Affleck was in talks. It sounds like Warner Brothers was playing fast and loose, trying to find their right fit. You know, they had other directors already signed. You know, these two gentlemen will be the third directors officially signed on, with Seth Graham Smith and I forget the first one attached to direct. But
I'm honestly excited, dude. I like you. I loved Vacation.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. The two boys were hysterical. Everyone was great. Honestly,
when the one older son's like trying to flirt with the girl in the car, and the younger son puts the plastic back over his head.
So rad. Yeah, it's a funny movie, and I went into that with zero expectations, and I walked away loving every second of it. So funny, pleasantly surprised.
It's the car. It's the Prancer. What I was surprised of, TCA, the Television Critics Association, they do a big thing every year, and that's why there's been a lot of TV news lately. So my favorite show of all time is a show called ER. It was on NBC. It was the biggest thing in the 90s. It was kind of the last major like drama show that got huge ratings. You know, it averaged somewhere in the neighborhood of like 35 to 42 million viewers a week. To put that in perspective, now The Big Bang Theory is like the main serialized show, and they get like 16. So this was something. This was pulling in three times what they were pulling in. But it's never been available on streaming. It's been out of circulation on a lot of syndication as well. It finally got reintroduced to when the Pop Network came on. But Hulu, in a big coup, is going to be the first streaming service to host all 331 episodes of ER. And Hulu's been kind of amassing a lot of shows. They Lost left Netflix and is on Hulu. Scrubs left Netflix, is on Hulu. All of Seinfeld is on Hulu. They're in talks to take Friends when Friends leaves Netflix. How I Met Your Mother. And Netflix seems to be really focusing on their original programming at the detriment of keeping what I think made them so relevant before, which was that great old content that you can't really find things. You don't really want to pay $50 for the DVD, but hey, I'll stream in the background. So, Justin, is Hulu? I don't think none of us have Hulu, right? I do not.
I had it for years, and I don't anymore.
And Randy, you don't have Hulu, right?
I do not.
No, okay. So hearing that Hulu is making this big push, does that excite you to maybe consider picking up Hulu again, Justin? Or possibly, do you see a point in the future where if Netflix keeps going down this rabbit hole and losing the old shows in favor of the originals, to where you would maybe consider switching?
Consider, yes. But I've never really been a fan of Hulu. I had it for since 2011, and then just a couple months ago, I finally ditched it. And it's a shitty application, man. And, I mean, I have 200 megabyte download speeds, and it still has, like, freakouts. Whereas I never get glitches. Well, never say never, but I never have, like, buffering issues with Netflix or Amazon or Vudu for streaming movies and such as well. Hulu's the only one that ever gives me problems. And I also just hate commercials. Commercials just drive me insane. And so at this point in my life, Dave, I am over Hulu. And I don't care what shows go on there. A couple months ago, I was talking about how I never know what to watch on Netflix. And I can't stand all their original programming. But now I've been giving it a chance, and I'm fucking hooked, man. I keep watching all these incredible shows. I just watched Manhunt the other day, and I loved every second of it. And I was alive during the whole Unabomber thing, and I'm just like, man, this is fucking cool, man. I like it. And then, you know, I was talking about that Mindhunter show, fucking Ozarks. There's all these really cool shows on Netflix, and I'm okay with it because it's new. The only old show that I need is The Office. I have that streaming every single day of my life. So when that goes to Hulu, sure. Then I'll probably get it.
All right. Mr. Van Degovich, what say you? Are you as high on Netflix original programming as Justin is?
I love a lot of the Netflix original stuff. And I have never had Hulu. I've only known Hulu as a form of free entertainment from time to time for old junky shows that you guys give me a hard time about when I watch
just
in my office.
They came.
don't act like it's like you're the whipping boy we picked on. One show, Randy. One show.
And it's bad.
Admittedly,
it wasn't like
preface bad.
Look, this is a real cheesy show. It probably didn't age well. You were like, dude, this was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. Let's watch this. Like,
it was my favorite show when I was 13 years old. That should be all you need to know that it was terrible.
You're like, and it's longer than your normal.
Yeah, and it's an hour
show.
Comedy.
Yeah,
and it's an hour long sitcom. It's an unheard of hour long sitcom. But getting back to the question, no, I like the idea of more stuff going to Hulu, and I think if enough of the right shows were there, I wouldn't mind forking out some bucks to do it. I've never used their pay service before, so I don't have the inside insight that that Justin does to how they do things over yonder. But
you have is your cable bill outlandish? Like, do you have a crazy lineup? Randy?
No, I have like one step above basic cable, pretty much. You know. And that's it. And it's not incredibly expensive. I have AT&T that I use, and I don't think it's that bad. I've been real tempted to ditch cable altogether and just do all streaming and questionably legal acquisition of TV shows and movies. But
Dave, you have all the channels though, right?
No, I don't have any of the premium channels.
Oh, really? I thought you always call the cable company and have like a new name.
No,
you're like you're checking into a hotel under some fun name kind of thing.
Well, no, my cable company is inept and stupid, so we often have to call, and then because we call, we get free shit. But
you're the ones that complain, and then you're like, "Let me speak to your supervisor," and they're like kind of stroking off to the side, and they're like,
"Well,
fucking guy."
we took a 1 year sample from January to December, and our bill was wrong every single month.
Oh.
And so, I mean, that's the thing, is it's a total scam, because there's a lot of people who just pay their bills and don't pay attention. I'd probably be one of them. Luckily, my wife is the most organized person in the world and knows exactly to the penny what we should be paying. And so when it deviates, she's like, oh, what happened? Did we do X, Y, or Z? Did we rent an on-demand movie or whatever? Oh, no, it's just our cable company is a bunch of fucking idiots who can't get their shit together or who are trying to scam us, which is probably more likely the answer.
Right.
So then we just call and, you know, spend 10 minutes on the phone, and they say, oh, we'll give you HBO for 6 months. Oh, you already have HBO because we fucked up last month? Oh, here's Showtime. Oh, you have that? We fucked up 2 months ago? And, you know, it just kind of goes like that. So, but my cable bill's not that bad.
It doesn't instill a lot of confidence.
No, they're a bunch of idiots. And it's not, you know, we've switched. <to cable bills>.
Sorry.
It's okay. But yeah, I'm a big fan of ER, so I would consider adding it for a couple months, binging the shit out of ER, and then canceling. But that's, probably won't.
That's a hefty, hefty binge session. How many episodes was it?
331. They played. There's a network called Pop, and I don't know what it used to be.
Dirty Pop.
Yeah, Dirty Pop. And so on Saturday they play like 8 or 9 episodes, and so I jumped on about like when they were in like season 4, and now they're on like season 11. So I recorded them all, and then I'll like kind of watch them throughout the week and stuff like that on like my iPad or something. And so I've seen a good chunk of it, but I missed the first like 3 seasons, and so I wouldn't mind going back and watching those.
I like Dr. Romano.
I do like Dr. Romano. Rocket Romano.
He's in RoboCop, you know.
He is. He's just as big a dick in that, too.
Yeah. He has fun ways of dying in things. Spoiler alert. Toxic waste in a helicopter.
Helicopter.
Twice.
Yeah. After the first helicopter takes his arm, the other one came back and finished the job, like, a season later.
That was a good episode where he actually got crushed, where they were dealing with that emergency in the ER.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds the one guy smoking like 1.2 pots, and then he yells at him, and then he goes outside and gets crushed.
Yeah. And that's the thing about ER, is that it was from a technical standpoint, it was a pretty incredible show, as far as, you know, like moving the camera around and Steadicam, and, you know, just the ballet that is, you know, filming a television show. And John Wells, who was the main showrunner of ER, he went over to the West Wing, and you can see a lot of that same stuff in those walk and talks that Aaron Sorkin's so famous for.
Right.
But yeah, West Wing, another pretty amazing show.
I like the walk and talks.
Yeah, as do I.
I like shows that make me feel smarter when I'm watching them. Like Newsroom. That was a show that I felt like I was just the smartest man in the world. I was like, yeah, I follow the news, and this story's a year old, but I don't care. I feel like an intellectual. And I don't know what it was. It's clever writing and keeping up with it and how fast they talk. It was just fun. And I am well aware that the way they portray what goes on in the newsroom is probably 100% fake, but they also made it exciting.
Yeah, oh yeah, I love Aaron Sorkin and how he writes, and with Molly, I actually really enjoyed Molly's Game, which was his directorial debut that just came out. I know no one really talks like that, but in my head they do. Mm-hmm. And so it's real cool to see that unfold in front of you. But
yeah, he's good people.
He is good people. He's better people than Venom. And that movie is coming out next year, and I don't know if I care. But it's been a big point of controversy that up until recently, it was basically like Spider-Man is not involved in this movie. This movie takes place, you know, in the same universe, but we'll never see Spider-Man, blah, 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 blah. But if rumblings are to be believed, you know, it sounds like they're trying to find a way for Tom Holland's Spider-Man to appear in the Venom film in just a cameo or a small role. He's not going to be a large portion of the movie. But I'm still not excited. You know, it's Tom Hardy. He's being Venom. It's an Akiva Goldsmith movie. It's Sony. It just does not inspire me. And Randy, do you care about the Venom movie? Does it make you feel better that Tom Hardy, a big actor, is in it? And does it make you feel better that maybe Tom Holland will be in it as well?
I'm not really incredibly excited about this movie from the get-go, because from the beginning it's been billed as a Venom movie without Spider-Man, and that, to me, always felt wrong. I do feel like if we do have Tom Holland as Spider-Man in it, it'll appeal to me more, and I'm sure it'll appeal to a lot more of the pre-established Marvel crowd. But at the same time, if I was going to watch a movie all about Venom, I'd really want Topher Grace to come back and reprise his role from Spider-Man 3.
What an asshole.
MTV Movie Award winner for Best Kiss.
Oh, man. Oh, shit.
But in all seriousness, I think having Tom Holland involved can only help the movie. And Tom Hardy doesn't do anything for me one way or the other.
What about you, Justin? Are they going to be able to make Venom make sense to the general movie-going audience without a large Spider-Man lead-in? Because, I mean, Venom is... There are characters that live in the sandbox with their arch-nemesis, but Venom is linked to Spider-Man because he's wearing the suit Spider-Man used to wear, the symbiote that Spider-Man threw off his body in a dramatic fashion. So before, when they were going to tell a story without Spider-Man, it didn't make sense. Do you think his cameo is going to be somehow to just, oh yeah, I had this suit and then I threw it away and this guy picked it up and go?
No. I think the cameo is going to be more in the vein of sort of introducing the Joker at the end of a Batman movie, where, you know, like, hey, lose this calling card kind of thing. I feel like it's going to be some sort of web that's going to capture Venom's attention. And then there be Spider-Man, like, hey, man, it's a nice suit. And then fade to black or something like that. That's how I picture it to be. I mean, not that I care about Eddie Brock in any way, shape, or form. I do think that this, like you always say, that right now is a really good time to be a geek, and there's a lot of cool shit out there. They do have an opportunity to tell a really neat story, and I'm just kind of curious to see what that is. I don't know how you're going to make Venom interesting for 90-plus minutes, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, because, I mean, he doesn't really talk.
Yeah, and, I mean, neither does Tom Hardy, so it works.
This is true. Tom Hardy is world-renowned for his face acting.
Yeah.
His eye. Just putting a mask over this poor guy.
Dude, I was... Like, Warrior is one of my favorite movies. And he says, like, 8 things in that whole movie. He just pounds face in that movie, and he's awesome. So, he knows how to do it. And then when he does talk, I have no idea what the fuck he says. Mad Max, he barely speaks in that. And that's an amazing movie. We were all poking fun at Van Dyke a couple years ago. Like, how are you going to pick that as your movie that you're most excited for in 2015? And it fucking blew the whole world away. So, yeah. Who knows?
I was right about one thing.
One thing in your entire life.
Once.
One time.
It's
And just last thing we'll talk about tonight is the... You know, we're all a big fan of the Rocky franchise, and Creed was an amazing, happy surprise for us that it was such a great movie. Creed 2 is going to pit Adonis Creed, you know, Michael B. Jordan's character, against the son of Ivan Drago, the Russian boxer from Rocky 4. And they just cast Ivan Drago's son. I'm going to butcher some names here. It's a professional boxer named Florian Big Nasty Montuno, I don't know. He is going to be Ivan Drago's son. He's 27 years old, 6'4", 245 pounds, and he looks like a ripped version of Jason Statham with a little more hair on top.
Yeah, that's a big dude.
Yeah, he will break them.
He is going to just tower over Adonis.
Yes, he will. Does this concern you a little bit, Randy? Because, I mean, there's a big difference between Rocky 1 and 2 and Rocky 3 and 4. And they're both great for their own... Like, I love Rocky 1 and 2 for the serious drama that they are, and I love 3 and 4 for, like, just the bonkers 80s spectacle that they are. Do you think that by having Creed fight the son of the man who killed his dad, it's going to kind of tiptoe into the more absurdish Rocky 3 and 4 into where we may not want that yet?
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, because I was just thinking that, like, this is almost like a Weird Al Yankovic video. Like, it's just sort of, it's almost like it's already parodying itself, and I don't like that. I think that is just too on the nose. I mean, what do I know? It hasn't even come out yet. I don't know anything about it other than it's just two sons fighting each other. But I don't think that this is a scenario that should play out in this universe. I think it's a little absurd. But I'm happy to give it a chance. Creed is an amazing movie, and it ranks as one of the best Rocky movies ever made. So, and that's coming from someone that absolutely adores Rocky. I mean, I live my life as a man to try and do everything I can to be like Rocky, in the sense that I never want to give up. I am goal-oriented. I am nice to other human beings. I love Rocky, and I am going to see Creed 2 the day it comes out, but I just wish they went a different route. Given what I know, this bothers me a little bit.
You do live your life like what would Rocky do, like you don't hear no bells.
I don't.
Yeah, I almost feel like this wouldn't happen if Ryan Coogler was still in charge. Like, it seems like he was trying to tell a real intimate story with Creed, and it sounded like, I just feel like his style would have been different, and that maybe this is kind of Stallone steering the train a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But what do you think, Ray? Did you end up seeing Creed?
I did. Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, okay. What And obviously you've seen Rocky 4 from now, right? I loaned you the box set, and you watched them all, right?
Yeah, I watched them all in order.
Okay, just making sure. There was a point when the only Rocky film you had seen was 5.
Yeah, and I saw it in the theater when it came out.
That's rad. You didn't see it at the drive-in? You saw it in an actual theater?
No, actual sit-down theater.
Oh, man. Was it a Captain Blood's or whatever?
No, it wasn't. It was a little theater, like right down the street from where I lived.
Oh. I saw mine at the Edwards Village, which is a theater that's no longer there. I remember seeing that. So what are you kind of on the same page as Justin and me that it seems like it's kind of going into self-parody, or are you like, this is a big fucking Russian guy, he's going to beat this poor guy?
I mean, there are so many places they could have taken this that would have been so good, but to feel like they're going back to the well, it just feels like a cheap nostalgia grab, and I think you guys kind of nailed it. You hit it right on the head there. That it is becoming incredibly absurdist, and it is becoming a Weird Al parody of itself. And all I can hope is maybe he's more of a MacGuffin, maybe he's only in it a little bit, and it's just that's what people know, so that's what they're talking about now, and maybe it won't be a big pivotal part of the movie. Maybe there will be some sort of emotional confrontation, maybe some lowball fight before he goes on to whoever his main challenge is going to be for the movie.
I would like to think that, Randy, but when you got this big old dude that's 6'4", a billion trillion pounds, and it's all muscle and beard, it sounds like he's the big bad. And for someone that's trying so hard not to be his father, it seems weird to fight his father's greatest opponent's son. I get at the end that he embraces it, having, you know, both names on his trunks and wearing his daddy's trunks, and it brought a tear to my eye. It was very emotional, but I feel like this is cheapening that moment for me.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, it's to see it from a more positive standpoint. I mean, there was kind of the thing in Creed where, like, they made him, like, change his name, and they made him, to where there were people behind the scenes kind of manipulating, like, mm-hmm. how he was portrayed, to where I could see maybe a scenario where it's almost like meddling from some promoter who just, you know, this is the dream match. You know, this guy's dad killed your dad, and I think you guys should fight, and, you know, making it this real personal story of Adonis, you know, figuring out if he wants to be a fighter, if this is what it means, if it means that he's just going to be dragged out like some, like, show pony and stuff like that. And then, you know, juxtapose that with the Russian guy, like, mocking him or, like, being like, you know, him standing next to Dolph Lundgren talking about, oh, remember that time you killed that guy's dad or something like that. And, you know, towards Adonis kind of not wanting to fight him because he understands that it's a joke, and then maybe has to come, just gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. I didn't ask you to stop being a woman.
For me, again, I cannot relate in any way, shape, or form, but there's no way in the world I would ever want to get into the ring with this man, knowing what I know. That I don't have a father because this man's dad murdered him in the ring.
Unapologetically.
Yes. I would want nothing to do with that. I mean, they, not only is it a, you know, boxing is a physical thing, but that would just get to me mentally and just crush my psyche, and I would have no idea what's going on. There's no way I would be able to concentrate in the least bit, and for me, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And the fictional world where Justin Cavender is a boxing champion, I would not take this match.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan is listed at 6 foot tall, so this gentleman is 4 inches taller than him and definitely a bigger physique.
Yeah, and with Hollywood Hocus Pocus, he's going to look even smaller compared to this man.
Yeah. The other thing about Drago is that he was tall, but, you know, physique-wise, you know, Rocky was just as fit, if not more fit, than Drago. Drago was just...
But Stallone's short.
Yeah, Drago was just taller than him. To where here we have someone who's taller and is just an intimidating-looking man.
Right.
You go to GeekLeaks.com and you can see the picture of this guy, and he's
big dude.
Scary.
But even even Carl Weathers looked way bigger than Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers was just a beautiful, beastly man in Rocky. You know, he was one fit-looking motherfucker. He was
glistening,
buff, and shiny. Two of my favorite things. And he looked amazing. And I don't know, Michael B. Jordan looks fantastic in the ring, but they're going to have a way of making Jason Statham on roids look a lot bigger.
Super Statham.
Yeah.
Like the Super Shredder.
Shredder, exactly.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Production starts in March, and it comes out in November, which kind of also surprised me that they were going on such a tight turnaround. But, of course, this doesn't have a ton of effects. You know, this is more – probably the most intensive portion of this would be the fight choreography, which they're probably currently working out. You know, just because they're not filming doesn't mean they're not practicing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they're going to start sometime in March photography, and it'll come out in November. So less than 8 months from first shot to theater. So good on them. We're going to have a fast clip. But that's all I got. You guys got anything else you want to talk about? Mm. Anything I missed?
I feel like there was something, but I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't remember. Must not have been important.
Must not have been. What are you, Randy? Got anything else?
I got nothing.
Wait! I do! Oh. I have something. So last week, we opened up the show on the very low point of this podcast, talking about soaking.
I googled it.
I spent a lot of time reading about it. There's even erotic stories that involve soaking. It's fantastic.
I'm sure you read all of them.
Yes, and of course, when this happened, someone reached out to me that grew up in the Mormon faith, and they had never even heard of it. They were like me, so I don't feel like a total ass that not everyone partakes in this fun little adventure. So, if you are a Mormon listener and we offended you in some way, I apologize.
Well, I'm sorry if I made it sound like everyone should know about it, but
you made it sound like everybody does.
Oh, you haven't heard of soaking? I think it was more I don't think I was more my excitement wasn't to point out that you were ignorant on the subject. It was more excitement that I got to explain it.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
That was more my excitement, like, oh my god, he hasn't heard about this. This is going to be great.
Yeah, no, I started opening up every conversation with, "Hey, by the way, have you heard of soaking?"
I was promptly called into the HR office.
Yeah, exactly. I spent a lot of time in the HR office.
All right.
That's why we don't have any employees, because we would get sued.
Talking about soaking. Mm-hmm. I think we had talked about docking last week, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Well, all right. Well, thank you guys for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. If you are a soaking enthusiast, make sure you let us know on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and why don't you throw a follow on that? You never know when that soaking knowledge may pay off. Also, follow, like us on Facebook, Instagram, all those things. And make sure to go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And while you're there, you can listen to our other podcast, the Pixelated Podcast, with Justin and Stephen K. Janes talk about video games. Join us next week, where I'm sure we'll talk more Han Solo standalone films. Hopefully we'll have something to report. And until then, we will talk to you another time.